Good afternoon. Today is Monday, June the 3rd, 154th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is Eureka Police Chief. What, combing your hair?
Yeah.
You know about radio, right?
I'm brushing the sweat off my brow from
this
heat really we're having.
Oh, good thing you're sitting under the vent, huh? Merle Harper was alongside this afternoon. We got a couple different things to talk about. Realignment, you have had in the community. We've had a couple comments here at the shop about the press release that we'll talk about. The kid, I guess, from San Diego. We'll talk a little bit about that in conjunction with realignment. Also, we'll get an update. How much longer is Merle going to be sitting in the big boy chair? We'll find out about that and whatever else may pop into our feeble minds when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Merle Harpum. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Golda Meir. Sometime between 1898 and 1978 said, quote, "A leader who doesn't hesitate before he sends his nation into battle isn't fit to be a leader."
Okay.
What? What? You wouldn't send guys out into the swamp or... Or like those poor firemen,
yeah.
You know, the place collapses on them because, you know, I mean, if you haven't done that, you probably shouldn't be running the organization.
Yeah, right.
I would think, at least the troops might feel more comfortable that way.
Sure.
Yeah, that's why nobody has any concerns about you because you've done it all, right?
Yeah.
Over and over.
Yeah.
So what's going on with this realignment? We had the news story this morning. Coming off, I guess, a press release that came in over the weekend about getting some kid out of San Diego, stolen car.
Right.
Sight and release.
Technology, our new technology.
Yeah, yeah, the whiz-bang machine.
Yeah. It picked up a stolen car. Officers moved in, and a guy was in the vehicle, two people actually in it. the one guy was arrested for the theft of the vehicle. And he was released on his OR with a promise to appear. Right.
Must have been an inexpensive car?
No, I don't know what kind of a car it was, but I mean, it was expensive enough to put in the system. Somebody put it in the statewide system.
So he went as far as he could. You guys still found him.
Yeah.
Sight and release. I remember years ago. Sight and release meant that the jail was full.
Yes.
And we don't have any room, and that was about the time we were building the new current jail.
Right. Yeah, that was that was bad times then, too. The only difference between then and now is that before, we couldn't even take them to jail. They could have 5 pounds of heroin on them, and all we could do is issue a citation. Now, at least, we can take them to the jail, and then the jail releases them.
So is there any judicial involvement in something like that, or is it just no room in the hotel?
Yeah, basically, they've got to fit, the person arrested has to fit the matrix that they've drawn up for people to be accepted at the jail. Certain people will not be accepted at the jail. And
so apparently, car theft.
Oh yeah, no, we've got
not
one
an
guy.
Issue.
We arrested one guy 4 times in 5 weeks. For car theft. We caught him in a stolen car 4 times in 5 weeks, and he was out each time within hours because he doesn't fit the matrix. It's not a violent crime of violence.
So I would think, though, that could lead to a violent episode.
Sure.
Between the car owner and this clown. What happens if or when the next one happens? I mean, is there a point where finally they qualify, or because there's no nasty.
Yes,
it just doesn't ever register.
It can get there at some point in time, but like, you know, we've been having area around Booner and O has been really hit hard with burglaries. We had 50 in about a 6-7 block radius around there. And we caught a woman here the other day and found stolen property on it from those burglaries. And we suspected that she was probably involved. And she's got multiple arrests. In fact, one of the officers claims that she's on probation 11 times. Now, I confirmed 3. And we arrested her, and within the hour, she was released again. Well, the neighbors in that area are all tuned in there. They've got a program going where it's called Next Door. And so when something happens in that neighborhood, they enter it and it goes to all the people that belong to that neighborhood watch meeting and tells them what's going on. So they put the word out that we'd arrested the woman and then she was released. And those people became, you know, very upset. Because there were some significant burglaries around there. One woman lost her computer, which had her master's degree written on it that had taken several years to compose, and it's gone. Understandably so, the people in that area were very upset. Well, other areas are also being hit, and some are starting to get the word, and they're starting to contact us about forming neighborhood watch groups, and some haven't. And
so is this a simple model of hardening the target?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, getting the neighbors involved. We go out and meet with them. And in fact, one neighborhood watch group had 75 people at it. And then so they toned it down to where they segmented that area to where there'd only be like 17, 18 people per area that would attend. And we've had a total of 3 out there, one every week for the last 3 weeks. And basically, you know, we meet with them and they talk amongst themselves. They get to know one another. They know when their working hours are, who should be in the area, who might, you know, be approaching their house or...
Paying attention.
Yeah, paying attention to the neighbors, you know. And this is the way it used to be. And are we about to go on a break?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll talk about other things to do when we come back. Okay. It's 3:19.
Sunshine for Humboldt. For years, the Eel River was the state's second largest source of steelhead and third largest of salmon. A UC Davis study estimates it once produced more than 1 million fish annually. This has been replaced by unpredictability. Last year saw a good salmon run, but some years it is very small. Several causes are cited, but all agree the Eel River ecosystem has been degraded. Now a task force of volunteers has come together to pinpoint the reasons and work to restore the watershed. The Eel River Task Force consists of public agencies, Indian tribes, conservation organizations, and others committed to establishing a scientific baseline of the causes of the decline and what might be done to reverse it. The members agree, no finger-pointing. A plan of solutions must fulfill legal responsibilities to protect endangered species while also respecting private property rights. It will be a big job, but a healthy Eel River is worthwhile for all Humboldt County. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Merle Harpam. Merle, some of the different challenges certainly are realignment based.
Yes.
You make an arrest, they're out before you are out of the building. Right. Okay. All the frustration associated with that. We can talk about funding. We can talk about infrastructure. We can talk about all kinds of things, cultural changes and whatnot. Is it just state realignment that has teed this thing up to be such a problem, or are there other elements in here that also put a little gas on the fire.
Well, yeah, you know, particularly in this area, because of our drug culture here, we've got a very high incidence of, well, I mean, we're in the Emerald Triangle, and that's going to attract the other outside drugs because people are going to come for the marijuana and they'll trade their heroin or speed or whatever for the marijuana. So, you know, people, you know, they play down the marijuana thing. No, marijuana is a big reason for some of the cultural changes that we've seen here over the years.
So, but this last little bit is a little bit more condensed, a little bit more problematic, you know, on the timeline.
With the realignment adding to all this?
Well, is it realignment? Is it meth? Because that kind of ripped through about, what, 10, 15 years ago. Yeah. We've had the marijuana for, what, 70s? Probably late 60s.
Yeah, 60s.
So that's been around for a long time. Is it cultural mores?
But things were done about it in the 60s and 70s. It's, nothing's being done now. I mean, they're so open about it now. I mean, you fly the area now. You used to fly the area, the camp teams. They'd have difficulty finding where the grows were because they'd be camouflaged. They'd be hidden away.
Yeah, the netting now, on the top. Yeah,
yeah, now they've got. They just take a bulldozer, blade off a hilltop, and put a marijuana garden in, and they're it's blatant. I mean, and greenhouses up.
Well, let's go the other way then. Let's say Papstein's the DA. Pfft, yeah, right. And we have zero tolerance. There is whatever the minimum is with the 215. We're going to make you run the gauntlet. You're going to have to be a triathlete in order to be able to qualify. Not hangnails, not insomnia. Not any of these other goofy things that are out there, okay?
Poor appetite.
Et cetera, et cetera. Give me a break. So
asthma.
We take the farthest end of this thing and make it the most difficult. But we still have realignment. We still have the growth culture. Maybe not the grow houses, but the growth culture in the area. Meth is still what meth is. Heroin and all the other goodies are still the same. How much different does that make?
Well, you know, it's been quite a few years ago now, but there was a district attorney in Redding. In fact, his father lives in Eureka.
Scott.
Scott is his last name. I forget his first name.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Greg Scott.
And he started a program over there called Not in This County, the meth thing, and they targeted meth. They had a drug task force over there that was very proactive, and they had much less problem. We had officers that left here and went to Redding PD, and they'd come back and tell us, man, we don't have the problems that we had when we were here. So, you know,
is it still in effect?
No, he's gone. He's now the president, or somebody at some point in time appointed him to as an attorney general. So he's moved up the chain.
So the program is gone?
I think,
Isn't supported?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where the program's at. I have a feeling that it's not like it was when he was there.
Sure, you have a major personality pushing behind it. It'll help.
Right.
So what, as you look at this, we got more break-ins. Yep. We've got more... what I call them, the bicycle brigade, cruising all over the place at all times of the day and night looking for opportunities to steal.
Yes.
The kick-in, you know, the one that we talked about last month, jail, some financial constraints with law enforcement, and how many of you guys that there are, the lack of willingness to employ stockades. that was me getting a little excited. What's what of those? What is the biggest linchpin? What is the one thing that if it got pulled out, everything comes down and might fall into a line again, and things would be addressed?
You're talking about doing something with the realignment. You're saying
what of those things is realignment the number one issue?
Right now, it's a huge issue. And
anything going on with it?
No. Well, I mean, the Sheriff's Association, the Chiefs of Police Association, the League of California Cities, they're all bombarding the legislature with letters, and so are citizens. I know a lot of these citizens for these neighborhood watch meetings I've been attending are writing their congressmen. But
is it a federal issue?
What's that?
Is it a federal issue?
Well, it's a state issue, but it was enforced by the feds. Supreme Court, there was a decision out of California, 9th District, and it went up to the Supreme Court, and they ruled that, yes, California has got to bring down their prison population to a certain point.
Wasn't there another one, was it last week, week and a half ago, that California decided it was going to push back because they wanted another 9,000 reduced?
7,000.
Was it 7?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And, but the problem is that the governor's been threatened with contempt of court. And so he's under the gun. I mean, you know, everybody's blaming the governor. And, well, I guess if you go back to 1975, his first term.
He set things in place.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30.
An unprecedented savings event is going on now at Burns Furniture. The Serta iComfort Triple Bonus. Bonus 1, save up to $400 on a Serta adjustable foundation. Bonus 2, receive a free iComfort 2-in-1 mattress protector up to a $159 retail value. And bonus 3, receive 2 free iComfort scrunch pillows when you buy a Sealy iComfort or iSeries mattress. Catch the Serta Triple Bonus before it goes away at Burns Furniture, 5th and G Streets, downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Merle Harpham, police chief for the city of Eureka. Merle, we had a couple of other stories this morning. I guess they're kind of somewhat related. The car arrest that you guys got was, okay, symptomatic, certainly. The one that kind of got me torqued was the arrest, and it was somebody who was growing in the garage, and they were using a bedroom. The rest of the house was okay, was being used as normal. And I'm thinking, you know, are we being stupid in not growing in one or two of the rooms in the house and not taking advantage of these situations? I mean, it seems like it's almost odd man out now instead of being the rare exceptional that's doing this stuff.
I've heard of a lot of people say the same thing. And I know of a lot of people that have done exactly that. They've kind of given up and going, why not? I mean, you know, you got these young guys that are driving around in brand new four-wheel drive pickups. You know, it's like, you know, the guy they're looking for, that Miller that killed his
family.
Yeah,
the guy in Southern Humboldt or
yeah.
Ish.
We did a case on him in, I think it was 2002, I want to say. Four. Our guys that are on our present POP team, they did a case on him, and they researched. I mean, he was making all kinds of money. Of course, ended up in Shingletown in Redding and bought a $320,000 home in Redding. And homes are a lot cheaper over there than they are in Eureka. And anyhow, they did the research and found out, you know, he had a barn. Him and his family had a barn with three floors in it, and each floor had huge grows. Well, they did a check on his income tax. He'd filed, the most he ever filed on was $25,000 a year as a woodcutter. And yet he had
He could have
several,
said timber faller and at least been closer, huh?
Yeah. And of course, and he had several, you know, brand new pickup trucks, and, you know, he was living the life of Riley on $25,000 a year as a woodcutter. Yeah, right. Give me a break.
So,
there's a lot of people like that.
So in looking at that, I keep kind of going back to, is that what the norm is around here anymore? Drug involvement, and are we just being, I guess, either sticks in the mud? Or being ignorant to what reality really is anymore for Humboldt County.
Yeah. Well, Humboldt County is being in the middle of the Emerald Triangle, as they call it. That's, you know, that's part of the problem. The stuff grows here great. And if you want to see something entering, go and travel 299 or 101 just after the cutting season. You will see these hordes of hitchhikers, young people, in groups of five and six all along the highways. And I'm sure some people have seen them. And there was like 2 weeks in a row. There was one weekend I counted 20 as I'm driving towards Weaverville in Willow Creek. I saw 27, a total of 27 people. And the next weekend, it was like 32 or 33 people in little groups all along the road with their sleeping bags and stuff, all young. They were here for the cutting season. Cutting season's over, they're heading home again or wherever. So I guess some people say it's good for the economy, but but the other side of that is that a lot of the houses that we hit, some of them are from out of state, and they're, and when you talk to them, I mean, they're usually nice people. They're, you know, they're not criminals in terms of going out and pulling robberies and burglaries and things. They're just growing dope because they can. And as an example, I had two kids up on Pine Street. They were in their early 20s, and they were from Minnesota. And I asked them, why Eureka? And they'd rented the house, and the whole house was a grow. And they were sleeping on the floor. And they had grow in every bedroom, so they had to, you know, kind of camp out. But there's houses like that around town where we had a college professor from down south that bought three houses here in Eureka and two outside Eureka, and every one of them was a grow house. Nobody was living in them. He had people hired to take care of them. And so, you know, it, like these guys from Minnesota, I said, why Eureka? They said, well, because if we did this in our state, we'd be in prison. And they were right, because they didn't go to jail. I mean, you know, they went to jail for an hour or so. And so the that's the problem. We're attracting people here that are kind of undesirable in, you know, my way of thinking, because all they're here for that one reason. Come here and grow marijuana, and they're not paying taxes on it. They're not, you know, I guess sales tax is about the only thing you're getting out of them.
So as you look at that trend, and I would like to think it's still just a trend instead of a fait accompli. Yeah. How do you get rid of it? I would think the easiest way would be the old asset forfeiture.
Yes.
And just look at that. And I'm sorry, if we find one plant in one of your rentals, that house is now forfeited to the city, county, whatever the jurisdiction is. And we will be selling it the following week at a discount at whatever we can get. And if it's $100,000, that's ours.
I agree.
Get zero.
Or property. Same with
same.
They buy 40 acres of property and put it in marijuana. They should take it away from them. You know, I mean, I know that sounds kind of hard, but
then people start paying attention to who and what is inside their rentals, and maybe we get the community back a little bit.
Right. And the most we can do right now is we find a grow house, and they got X number of wattage that they're drawing from PG&E. These ballasts that they use, each one is 1,000 watts. And so they get a certain point, then we call in the city electrician and code enforcement and look at it, and this is overloading. And I've seen one. We had a house out on Albee Street where PG&E came out. He says, I'm going to have to remove this from the pole. Look at here where it's going in the house. He turned the power off. And he went like this on the wire coming into the house, and it crumbled and fell.
It was so burnt.
Yeah, it was so burnt. He said, man, talk about this place was sucking up a lot of juice.
So why can't we use the asset forfeiture?
I don't know. That's above my pay grade. They certainly should go back to that, because that would certainly it would put money in the taxpayers, I mean, in the governments, you know.
Well, and clean up. Some of this stuff, at
right.
least.
Yes.
I guess.
And their vehicles that they're using to transport the stuff, you know, whatever.
All down the line.
Yeah, right now, it's why not do it, basically. That's what a lot of people are saying. There are some businesses that are established now. I won't tell you who they are. There are some businesses now that are established now because they went into that business, made their money, and got out of it and invested the money they made. Because you know it's pretty much tax-free, into a business, and now they're legitimate.
KINS, News and Information Times, 344. We'll be back with more from Merle Harpum.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 347. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Merle Harpum. Merle, in light of the situation that we've got with the drug culture, with the repercussions of what's going on in the state, when you're considering whoever's going to be replacing you, I know it's not your call, do you have high hopes that they're going to be able to do anything about this, or is it just kind of riding the tide of the wild bull until the state and the feds do something?
Well, I wish them a lot of luck, and I hope they do a good job. I hope it's somebody that's familiar with our area so that they know what the issues are. They're going to learn them real fast. I had a couple of people the other day say, because I was going, July 1st, hurry up. And I said, we've never heard you ever say anything like that. You've never said a negative word about your job. But, recently it has been getting to me.
It's time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're out at the end of this month?
No.
Or you're hoping the new guy is in at the end of the month?
The city manager asked me to consider extending it for 1 month. He says it might take us that long to get somebody on board, and what could I say?
Yes. Monthly rates.
So, anyhow, yeah, it's I'd say in the last all my career, I've never looked forward to. I hear people say, I only got 1 year, 7 days, and 2 hours to go till I retire. And I'm going, Jesus, retire now if it's that bad, you know? And I could never understand people saying that and looking forward to retirement like that. Now I'm starting to understand that.
Well, we'll have you for a little bit then, either one way or the other, huh? Okay. Yeah. I'll get an update from Bill on Friday about that. But yeah. It's got to be frustrating because I don't think anybody wants to leave on those terms.
Yeah.
But if that's the way that the community has turned, that's the way the community has turned.
Yeah.
But you know what? Maybe we can get you to be an investigator. Yeah, maybe not. Okay, fine.
Don't go.
Yeah. No, we don't want you in the news that way either.
No, so, I don't want to be there. I still have to look in the mirror.
Yeah. So we got you next month. See you then.
Okay.
We've been Talking Shop with Merle Harpum. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug somebody you love. See you tomorrow.